Well, thank you so much. What a blessing. We're in Romans chapter 8. I hope you have an understanding this morning that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, with God, you are a majority. Not a minority, you are a majority. Our text began in verse number 31 of Romans chapter 8, and it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" We have a majority when we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And then I'd like to call your attention to verse number 37. Would you underline this phrase if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. How many ever played King of the Hill when you were children? Two of you, okay. How many played sports growing up? That's a little bit better, okay. It feels good to win, does it not? It does. Feels good to win. And the truth of the matter is, we're on the winning side. And through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Well, what does that phrase even mean? More than conquerors. Well, if you know the Lord, you are a conqueror, but more than that, you are more than a conqueror. It's the first Sunday of 2024, and I don't know where 2023 went. It just absolutely flew by so quickly, so quickly. As we look at this year, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be more than a conqueror this year? There are some things, there are some victories need to be won, sure. There's some ground to make up, sure. There are some areas of growth, yes. But we're more than conquerors. Do you realize there is nothing this world can throw at you that can destroy you? Do you realize there is no trial, there is no difficulty, there is no trouble you will ever face this year that God cannot give you the strength to overcome, because you are more than a conqueror. Jesus Christ has given us new life in Him and given us His power to live a victorious Christian life this year. We are more than conquerors. There's a few areas this morning I'd like to call your attention to that we can be more than conquerors this year in 2024. I want you to notice we can be more than conquerors in the areas of personal growth. Personal growth. Take the time and turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, would you please? The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The last verse of this chapter in the book of Luke, as it describes a very young Lord Jesus Christ. There's a characteristic about His life that I believe needs to be very prevalent in every single one of our lives. Luke chapter 2, verse number 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In other words, there was growth in His life. I want you to understand something this morning. Anything that has life, anything that has life by nature will grow. The Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew, not just physically, He grew spiritually. He grew. Anything that has life will grow. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And the question I have for you this morning, do you this year have a desire to grow spiritually this year? In other words, we should be a more mature Christian this year than what we were last year. We should be a more mature Christian next month than what we were last month. We should grow and mature in our Christian faith, because anything that has life by nature will grow. Do you realize that those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the life of the Eternal One dwelling inside of you? Would you like to write this reference down? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." I don't know why I always do this, but for some reason or another, I always seem to reference food when I'm preaching or teaching. Have you ever noticed that? I'm always referencing food. And so once again, we've gotten to reference food. And last year when the evangelist was here back in May, and we had a day where I asked he and his wife if they like jambalaya. And they said, "Well, we do like ethnic food. I don't think we've ever had jambalaya before, but we'll try it." So anytime I have an excuse to make some jambalaya, I want to jump at that opportunity and to just take advantage of it. And so made them some jambalaya. Well, it's such a big recipe. Invited some other folks to come up. I think the Shipleys came up, and Miss Phillips was here working that day, and Pastor Miss House were there, and I forget who else was there. Just had some jambalaya, and it had some rice, has some vegetables in there like onions and green peppers and celery, and has some meat in there, some andouille sausage. How many ever had some andouille sausage before? Man, that's good stuff. How many never even heard of andouille sausage? How many like spicy food? You'll like andouille sausage. It's good stuff. Well, some people put chicken in their jambalaya as well. I put andouille sausage and shrimp. How many like some shrimp? Yeah. Brother Shipley came in and he's eating. And Brother Shipley said he doesn't eat shrimp. And he got two bowlfuls, and I mean, he was going to town on this jambalaya stuff. And he gets done, he says, "What was that meat?" And I said, "No, the sausage was, but was that chicken that was in there?" And said, "No, that, Brother Shipley, that was shrimp. That was shrimp you were eating." And he said, "Well, I kind of like that." And you just never know until you try, right? Well, the reason is this: we have to intake calories so we can function, right? What happens if you don't eat for a couple days? You get very grumpy, right? But not just you get grumpy, you run out of energy, because you need that intake so you can function, and you need to burn those calories so the body can function. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, it's not saying you are a baby Christian. What it's saying is you should, as a Christian, desire the milk of the word, just like a newborn babe craves that milk, that caloric intake from mom. He needs that milk so he can function. That's the description how we should live as a believer, always hungering and thirsting after God's word. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. But if we are going to grow as believers, you cannot grow apart from the Word of God. If you're going to be a more than conqueror in 2024 in this area of growth, you must include the Word of God in your life. You cannot grow without it. You cannot. That's one of the reasons why I'm challenging you to memorize some scripture this year. I want to see who's growing. I want to see who has desire to, of the sincere milk of the word, to grow thereby. And I hope 10 people do it, maybe 20 people, maybe 30 people will just have desire. Say, you know what? I want to take this challenge. Maybe someone will say this. I might not be able to memorize all of it, but I can start with some. Even if you memorize 10 verses, that's 10 more than what you memorized last year. If you memorize 15 verses, that's 15 more than what you memorized last year. You see, if we're going to be more than conquerors in this area of growth in our life, then we're going to have to include the Word of God in our lives and have a desire of the Word of God like never, ever before. Not just that, but I hope you're in a Bible teaching Sunday school class. On average, when an adult hears Sunday school, they think of children. And I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, we have a Bible teaching Sunday school where we're studying the Word of God. I remember as a teenager when I was saved, going into Sunday school class, the teacher would ask us questions about the lesson before the lesson was even taught. We'd know where we were going to be. And we were in Genesis chapter 3 this morning, during this class, and he asked the question, what did Eve and Adam eat in the garden where they sinned? And I blurted out, well, they ate an apple. Now, I only been saved for a short period of time. Did Adam and Eve eat an apple? What did they eat? Well, the Bible doesn't identify. In other words, what I needed to be was scriptural in my thinking. And the more scripture I read, the more scripture I memorize, the more scriptural I become in my life. Someone says, oh, I desire to be a spiritual person. I want to be a spiritual Christian. That's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad you have that goal. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot be spiritual without being scriptural. You must be scriptural in order to be spiritual. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I'm hankering for some jambalaya right now. I mean, I've been talking about it. I could go for some jambalaya right now. I've got my recipe all done. I've got it memorized. I know how much of everything to put in. I am hankering for some jambalaya right now. Anybody want to join me in having some jambalaya? Okay, that's more than what we had before. That's five. Six, do I hear six? Six going once, going twice. There we go, okay. Feel like an auctioneer, right? Well, if I have this hankering, if I have this yearning for jambalaya, spiritually speaking, don't you think I should crave the Word of God as well? This area of growth. This year, I want to challenge you to incorporate more of the Word of God in your life on a daily basis. I am so thankful for those that read their Bible through on a yearly basis. I'm so thankful for that. And I know some individuals have told me they did it for the first time this past year. And that just, as a pastor, that just warms my heart. I rejoice over that. And then some other folks have told me this year their desire to read the Bible through two times this year. And that just warms my heart and just makes me so excited for the things of God. Because what that means is they are growing in grace. They have a desire to grow in their Christian walk. And you cannot grow as a Christian without the Word of God in your life. Area of personal growth. Number two, not only should we be more than conquerors in the area of personal growth, but also secondly, in the area of personal victory. Personal victory. Personal victory. Who was it this morning? Brother Fox, who was it this morning? Was it you and Brother George talking? They used to have long hair. Yeah, was that both of you? Wasn't that true? Used to have long hair? I used to have hair. Well, Brother George, how come you don't have long hair anymore? You grew. You matured. You got victory over that. You see, in the Christian life, there's always something we're going to be battling. There's going to be personal sin we battle. There's going to be difficulties that we battle. There's going to be different situations that arise throughout our lives that we're going to have to battle. This year, I want to challenge you to have more personal victories in your life. Take the time. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. I want you to see this. Joshua chapter 1. Then hold your place there and go to Ruth chapter 4. We're going to look at Ruth chapter 4 first, then we'll go back to Joshua chapter 1. Ruth chapter 4 and Joshua chapter 1. Ruth chapter 4 and Joshua chapter 1. I want you to see this. We're going to use this as an illustration this morning. I hope you have an understanding about the book of Ruth and have this glorious picture of love of the Lord Jesus for the church. How it's pictured for us in this love between Boaz and Ruth. And Boaz was the kindred redeemer and redeemed Ruth. And what a wonderful picture that is of salvation. But as Boaz sets out this one day to claim Ruth as his own, there was another nearer kindred than Boaz who had first dibs at the land and first claim to Ruth. So let's pick up in Ruth chapter 4. Oh, let's see. Verse number 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, because that's where business was done. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. Now they're going to be witnesses of what's going on. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now, we have to understand a little bit about Old Testament law on this. Naomi is the mother-in-law. She has Ruth, who is her daughter-in-law. Naomi's sons are dead. One of her sons was married to Ruth. And now Naomi and Ruth, they're left alone. They have no means to visibly support themselves. So they've got this land they've got to sell. Well, Old Testament law said only those in the family had first dibs to buy that land so that the widower could really have some means to support herself. And so Boaz loves Ruth, the daughter-in-law. But he understands there's a nearer kinsman that has the right to the land first. And so he has to advertise this nearer kinsman so that he can have the right to redeem it. And if he can redeem it, then he can redeem it. And so he advertises the man and he says, "Do you want to buy this field?" He says, "Sure, I'll take that field. I want to add to my own acreage." To which Boaz now reveals, "Well, what day you buy this field, you also are going to marry this woman." And the man said, "Whoa, I don't want the woman, I just want the land." Boaz says, "Oh, that sounds good to me. I love the woman, so I'll take them both." And so look what happens next. He says, "I cannot redeem it." Verse number 7. "Now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel." Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? The dude had to take off his shoe. Why'd he have to take off his shoe? That seems kind of funny. You want to buy the field? Sure. Okay, well, you got to buy the field. You got to marry the woman. Well, I can't buy the field. Okay, so what you're going to do then, you got to remove your shoe from your foot as a testimony that you can't take this land. Now, why the shoe? And the answer is found in Joshua chapter 1. Let's turn there, please, would you? This was very important in the land of Israel in Old Testament times. It was extremely important about the shoe and the foot, because it had tremendous significance in the lives of these Israelites. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Notice verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Did you catch that? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. You see, it was very important in Old Testament times and very significant about the foot and the shoe, because the promise God gave to Joshua and really to Israel even before that was, when I give you this land of Canaan, everywhere you step, I'm giving you that land. Every place where your foot lands is going to belong to you. Now what I want you to do, Joshua, I want you to get up and I want you to walk that land. And everywhere you step, Joshua, that's the ground I'm going to give you. The ground that you cover is the ground that you have as a symbol of victory over the enemy. That's why it's very important what the shoe was and represented in Old Testament times. That's why when this kinsman said, I want the land, but I don't want the woman, so I'm just going to decline this offer, he had to take off his shoe, because what he's doing is, by taking off his shoe, he is declining victory in his life. God said, everywhere you look, everywhere you step, you conquer that, you go, you cover that land, you conquer that land. Where you step, you conquer. Where you step, you conquer. Where you step, you conquer. You see, this year, I want to see people in our church have victory over things in their life. I want them to take the time. I want them to take the motivation. I want them to take this opportunity to cover more ground in their life so that they can have more personal victory in their lives. Too many people have removed their shoes. They're walking around barefoot. And the illustration God gives us here is that the shoe on your foot is extremely important. When was the last time you had a personal victory in your life? When was the last time you said, God, I've been struggling with this. I'm going to put my spiritual shoes on. I'm going to cover this land. I'm going to conquer this land because I understand I am more than a conqueror. And God, the area that I cover is the area that I conquer. And God, I want you to help me by thy grace. This year, would you cover more ground? Step out. Cover more ground in your personal life. Because the truth of the matter is, the area that you cover is the area that you conquer. Get more victory this year. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I love music. I think I've already told you the story multiple times, but I love music. And I had a very, very spiritual struggle with the right kind of music when I was a new believer. I had invested so much money in listening to rock and roll and all kinds of different things that were ungodly in my life. And I realized if I continued with that type of music, I was going to stunt my growth as a believer. Really, I'd become barefoot in the area of music. And God spoke to my heart and says, look, Kevin, if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to do something about this. And so I did. I got home one day and took all of the musical tapes that I had, not CDs, tapes, and placed them side by side on the picnic table in our backyard. Grabbed a hammer and smashed every single one of them. I didn't want to give them away because I don't want other people to be tripped up to the same things I was tripped up with. I don't want other people to falter the same things I was faltering with. And so I smashed every single one of those tapes. You know what I was doing? I was covering more ground in my spiritual life. Because the more ground that you cover is the more ground that you conquer. And this year, what's the areas in your life that you want to conquer? Where's the areas you want to grow? Where's the areas you want to see victory in your life? This year, become more than a conqueror as far as personal victory, would you? Number three, and we'll close. Not just the area of personal growth, not just the area of personal victory, but let's become more than conquerors in the area of personal faith. Personal faith. See if you can't finish this phrase. If you do the same things the same way, you'll get the same results. The Christian life, I think we understand, is a life of faith, is it not? For we walk by faith and not by sight, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you really faithed God for something? When was the last time you stepped out by faith for something? Someone said this, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Going back through some statistics from this last year, I was very pleased to see that our Sunday school grew, not just spiritually, but numerically as well. That's a blessing. I was pleased to see our Sunday attendance grew. By the way, please be in much prayer for your church family. There is a lot of sickness going around right now. There are people out of town, and we'll say more about that a little bit later, but please be in much prayer for people. But I was pleased to see that area of growth, because again, anything that is living grows. We saw people saved in 2023. We saw more people baptized in 2023. That's a blessing. I rejoice in that. But what's stopping us from attempting more things? Where's that spirit of reaching out and launching out and attempting something for God that you never attempted something before? I think sometimes we get into a rut, and all a rut is really is a grave with both ends knocked out. And it's so easy to get into a rut to do the same thing, the same way, every single time, and we always see the same results. Why can't we just step out of that and attempt something for God we've never attempted before and see God move and work like we've never seen Him before? Let's faith God for something. Last year, we helped Brother Suglio and started the church. We had a very small portion in that. Some of you, you'd never done that before. What a blessing. And you got to see a church be built. And they're going strong, and they're seeing people saved, and they're baptizing people, and people are growing in the Lord. And we had a small part in that. That's a blessing. Some of you knocked on some doors and became a witness last year for the first time, and I'm so excited about that. Let's attempt some more this year. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Why? Because God honors faith. Would you turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Please the Lord by faith this year. Sunday school teachers, attempt something bigger for God this year than what you did last year. You have 5 or 6 in your class, start reaching 20. Start reaching 30. Meet some new people. Actively pursue individuals. Attempt something by faith. Let me tell you this story and I'll be done. When we were in Knoxville, around 1999, There was a building program that was put in place. We were running out of room. There were 2 services on Sunday morning. We were sitting shoulder to shoulder. There was no room. We had to expand. We had to build a new building so we can expand. And the pastor announced weeks and weeks and weeks in advance that they're going to have one day and they're going to take up a special offering for this new building. So they had this mock-up of the building that was made, and it was a couple feet wide and so forth, and maybe about 1.5 feet tall, and it was empty in the middle, and it was placed on the table at the front of the auditorium. And the day came on a single Sunday where everyone was going to bring their offering and drop it into that mock-up, and they're going to count the money, see what they can have going towards this building program. The goal that day, this is going to shock you, the goal, the total goal for that day for the offering was $9 million in one day. Does that seem a little bit high? $9 million in one day. So the day came, and at the end of the service, we all got up row by row, and we came by, and we dropped our offering in that mock-up, in that model. There were diamond rings that were thrown in there. There were deeds to homes that were thrown in. There were bonds. There were anything you can think of besides cash and check were thrown in this thing for this special offering for this new build for the church because we needed a new building. At the end of the day, anybody want to guess how much money was taken up? Now, the goal was $9 million. How many think $9 million was reached that day? How many think $9 million was not reached that day? And you would be right. You know how much was taken up? Just over $2 million in one day. Someone went to the pastor and said, you must be pretty discouraged. The goal was $9 million. You only came up with a little over 2. He says, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We just took up over $2 million in one day. There's no way I am discouraged about this. What this proves even more is that God will provide the rest. And guess what? God did. Because somewhere along the line, someone stepped out on faith and says, we need this, Lord. We can't do it ourselves. You're going to have to provide. And so God, we're stepping out We're launching out into the deep. We're stepping out by faith, and you're going to have to provide. And God did. When's the last time you stepped out on something? God is pleased by faith. Our faith pleases the Lord. This year, let's step out by faith. But preacher, it's scary. Right. It's uncomfortable. Right. We don't know what's going to happen. Right. Because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Let's be more than conquerors this year. In the areas of personal growth, the areas of personal victory, and the areas of faith. And may God help us with this and help us to grow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to